Welcome to the Subject Composition and Light Photography Podcast. Show notes can be found at robnunphoto.com. That's robnunphoto.com. SEL is proud to be sponsored by GoToMeeting from Citrix and is a member of the Tech Podcast Network. Find more great podcasts at techpodcasts.com. Now, on with the show. Hi, my name is Rob from robnunphoto.com, and this is the SEL Subject Composition and Light Photography Podcast. We're up to episode 182, and today is Sunday. I've got to check the 11th of March 2012. I've got to check because I'm just so tired. How is everybody? Hope everybody's had a great photographic week. I've been really busy at work. Excuse me. I've just finished a 14-day shift, but now I've got another 2 weeks off on holiday. We've come to the end of the financial year kind of thing in the UK, and our company runs from kind of the end of March to the beginning, the end of March, beginning of April is the holiday year as well. And so everybody, you've got to use up your holiday or you'll lose it. And so I've got 2 weeks off now, which is absolutely fantastic. But there'll be plenty to do in the house, in the garden, and down the allotment. And I'll probably be able to squeeze in, you know, a little bit of photography in there too, I'd imagine. So what I'd like to talk about tonight, or this evening, or this morning, whenever you're listening to the podcast, or maybe you're watching on YouTube, is going to talk about some things I've got down the car boot sale this morning, which is great. And a little bit about something I bought down the from Amazon. I think I got it off Amazon. I got it from Amazon. Some wireless flash stuff, so that's quite cool. And a new photo assignment for what's left of March and the whole of April as well, which should again be a little bit more exciting. So car boot this morning. It was probably the first one we've had where the weather's been really nice and warm down here in Gosport in Hampshire, in the UK. And so Suzanne and I got to the car boot sale at about 6:45 this morning. And for people who don't know car boot sales, if you're outside of Britain, basically it's a collection of people, normally private sellers, who come together in a field. It's normally organised by somebody. So in the case of the Bridge and Mary car boot sale that we go to, it's one of the local secondary schools. Lets the people to come in. You have to pay to set up their cars, and it's called a car boot sale because all the cars tend to be in a row, you know, with the boots facing the back, and then people have little tables in front that they then sell all their stuff from, and then you get different mixtures of, you get some tradespeople there. But the Bridge Mary one at Gosport is particularly good, but obviously over the winter when we have the bad weather, not many people go. But today it was a good one, so there's lots and lots of cars. And the things I'm always on the lookout for are Fujifilm Instax cameras, because I've sold all mine. I want the back Olympus Trip 35s, obviously, Olympus Stylus Epics, now the Olympus XAs, and anything that will catch my eye. And I got a few things this morning. First thing were a couple of books. The first one being, now I'm not into shoes, but this one's called Shoe Design by Dab. Now what caught my eye was Suzanne actually saw this one, and it's just got lots and lots of really nice photographs in of shoes, funnily enough. But I particularly like it because of the inspiration in terms of product photography, because you're taking this inanimate object, a shoe, and with all these photos, you know, you can't actually, they tend not to have people's feet in them. And then they're using different backgrounds, different settings, different lighting to make them quite exciting. And there's some quite unusual designs as well. So that's quite good, nice visual inspiration there to work through. And the next one is definitely not safe for work. This is High Heels, Fashion, Femininity and Seduction. Yeah, the lady who has had this stall had loads of high heels as well. So that's the cover. And it's a collection of interviews and essays and loads of lovely photographs. Let's just pick some out of things like high heels by photographers such as Guy Bourdin. You may have heard of him. He was a fashion photographer from the 70s and 80s. Absolutely fantastic work. And they've all kind of got the theme of high heels. Some really excellent photos in there. Really, again, great photographic inspiration. And you know, when you go to car boot sales or thrift stores or garage sales, as they may be in different parts of the world, I think it's a great opportunity to pick things up that you normally wouldn't. You know, I mean, this particular book here by Thames and Hudson. Let's see if it's got a price on. Let's have a look. Hasn't got a price on, but I'd imagine brand new, it's probably a few quid. I don't know, say £15 or something. But this particular book, £3 from the car boot sale, which is less than the price of a photography magazine, isn't it? But it's something you can keep, you can look at lots and lots of times, and just be inspired by real published photography. Because, you know, one of the things we always say is, in order to become a better photographer, you need to look at lots of photographs. But where do you look? You know, how do you gauge what is good? Because it's so relative. But one of the things you can use to gauge what is good is, if a photograph has been published in a magazine, a proper a magazine such as a magazine that isn't about photography, you know, like a How to Do It magazine on photography. It's been published, you know, in a fashion magazine or a wildlife magazine, etc. Then generally it's going to be an okay, if not a great photograph. And the same goes for books as well. So by looking at these images, you can improve your photography, because the quality or the ideas of these particular images will kind of seep into your subconscious, which means that they will then probably inadvertently change your style. And by getting stuff from car boots, you're buying stuff that you normally wouldn't buy, because you haven't really got a choice, and you can look through it and be influenced by things out of the box, if you like, you wouldn't normally be look at. And often you'll look at some of these things and think, oh gosh, you know, I wouldn't like to take photographs like that. But by pushing the envelope, by examining and taking in things you wouldn't normally look at, that helps you to change. Because I'm going to do a post about it this week on RobinHardPhoto.com about vanilla photography, you know, about how the fact that we move through these different stages of enjoying different styles and types of photography. But how do we move from a situation where we take photographs that are very similar to everybody else? How do we move beyond that into a different zone? And often that is by really questioning our areas of comfort and what we think of as the photograph we want, and just trying to push those boundaries a little further. But interesting food for thought. So, you know, never don't buy a book just because you think you might not like it. If it looks like it's a quality publication, you know, snap it up. Because this book, if this lady hadn't sold it, would probably end up in the bin or in a charity shop or something. So, but there we go, High Heels, Fashion, Femininity and Seduction. That's a Guy Bourdin photograph on the front, you know, very provocative, very sort of, he's a bit like Helmut Newton, but in colour, you know what I mean? Very good. Now, the other thing I picked up from the car boot sale, which was a fantastic bargain, was this little thing, which is a Nikon F55 SLR camera. So, the Nikon are one of the few camera manufacturers still to make film cameras. And the F55 came out in about 2002. It's a kind of, it's a budget film camera, but the spec is very, very good. It's got everything from manual to fully automatic with scene position modes. It can do bracketing. It can do exposure compensation. It has auto wind on. Does about 1.5 frames a second. This one comes with a it's a 28-100mm lens, so it's a good all-round lens, fairly slow, I think it's f3.5-5.6, but a nice little film SLR that's got all the features of a digital camera, apart from the fact that it uses film and doesn't have a window on the back. And I've never shot with a Nikon before, so I'm looking forward to doing this. I know this is their budget model, but, you know, the more the merrier. Now, guess how much this little camera cost me this morning from the car boot. So bear in mind that it turns on and it does shoot £5. £5 was all that. I bit the lady's hand off when she said it was £5. I gave her the money straight away. So I've got some Kodak colour film in there, but what I'll probably do is shoot some black and white with this one, because I've got... Do you remember I got the Ilford film a couple of months ago? The Ilford Film Company was kind enough to send me some free rolls of black and white. I've got some high ISO stuff. Is it 3,200 or something? Now this will apparently will recognise that and set the exposure accordingly. So I'm looking forward to that. If you can hear some noise in the background, that's just our washing machine. That's I think it's just going through the spin cycle. So yeah, Nikon F55. Hey, I'm a Nikon shooter now. Well, as well as being a Canon shooter, an Olympus shooter, a Minolta shooter, and all the rest that way. So there we go. So look out for them at your car boot sales. You know, very good, very good. Couldn't believe it. £5. Really, really cool. Now, we need to talk about our sponsor tonight, which is GoToMeeting, which is an online teleconferencing software solution, because we all know that being able to attach a face to a name is very, very important. It enhances our relationships and the way we do business. But unfortunately, meeting all of your clients and colleagues in person can be impossible. That's why I recommend GoToMeeting with HD Faces. It lets you meet face to face from anywhere in the world. With GoToMeeting by Citrix, it just takes a webcam and a click to collaborate in group high-definition video. You can see your attendees eye to eye while collaborating on documents in real time. You'll feel instantly connected, even if you're thousands of miles apart. Plus, GoToMeeting is so easy to set up and simple to use. For example, before we started using GoToMeeting with HD Faces as a sponsor, we all got to have a go with it, and I was very, very impressed indeed. So you can start hosting your own face-to-face meetings online today with GoToMeeting. And everybody out there, all my listeners, can try it free for 30 days. Don't wait for this special offer. Go over to GoToMeeting.com, click on the Try It Free button, and use the promo code PODCAST. Make sure you use the promo code PODCAST. So once again, visit the URL GoToMeeting.com, click on the Try It Free button, and use the promo code PODCAST. Yeah, make sure you use that promo code. Thanks to GoToMeeting for sponsoring SCL. Now, what's next? Ah, yes! Got something from Amazon during the week. And it's some wireless flash triggers. And as you'll know, you know, I'm a pretty frugal photographer. My budget for photography is pretty low. I shoot an old Canon 350D DSLR with everything's basically second hand, and I've picked up plenty of flashes from the car boot sales, but one of the things I always wanted to have a go at was off camera flash, and I kind of tested the waters with the Nissin flash that I tried last year, but I wanted to do off camera flash with more than one light source as well, because what I really want to do is create those David Bailey type photographs or Avedon type photographs where you have the white background, very bright white background where it's blown out, and then you have a subject in front, very like David Bailey's box of pinups type photographs. And in order to do that, you need to have hot lights or something, or you can do it with flash. So I've got this white screen, which is a slide screen, a projector screen. And then what I want to do is have a flash that can fire at that, and then have another flash to use to light up my subject, and preferably a third flash as well that I could use as a rim light or a hair light. But anyway, I've been keeping my eye on these ones on Amazon by JJC, which is called the JJC JFT2s, and they're £20. And for your £20, what you get is you get a master controller that clicks on the top of your camera. And you get two slaves, these things, which basically go underneath your flash. So if you imagine on the top of the camera, there's like this plastic kind of thing that clips on. And then you've got this other thing which looks like same size as like a large box of matches, which your camera's flash, which your flash then slots into. And that also has a tripod mount on. So in this particular case, I've got my... Jessup's old film camera flash attached onto the receiver, which is then on a Joby Gorillapod to hold it up. And by using these off-camera flashes, also what you can do is you can use old flashes like this Jessup's 320 AFC that don't work properly with the new Canon DSLRs. If you use any of these old flashes, this goes for Cobras as well, the timing's slightly off and the TTL doesn't work. So you use the flash and you think, well, nothing happened. But by using a wireless transmitter, the flashes then work properly. Now, they only work in manual. So what happens is when you press the trigger, the shutter button on your camera, it just fires the flash. And especially with these older flashes, all this has got is a low and a high setting. But I'll just do a quick test. I mean, on the audio podcast, you won't probably really get much sense of this. But if you're watching on the video, hopefully you'll be able to see it. So let me turn on the flash. You might be able to hear that charging up. Now, the other problem I've got is the battery. The flash batteries were flat, weren't they, unfortunately. So I just had to put them on charge really, really quickly. And the idea with this JJC system is that it can support up to four slaves. So you can have up to four lights. And I say this particular kit comes with two, so you can fire two flashes off. And for £20, that's very, very cheap. So my flash says it's ready to go. My commander is on. So let's see if when I press the shutter on my camera, whether the flash fires or not. Bingo. There we go. And the flash fired. So how good is that? This Jessup's flash, which I'm pretty sure cost me a fiver from the car boot sale. And it's got a swivel head, a bounce head, goes up and down. Combined with the £20 JJC wireless trigger, and then with another flash like this Miranda, I've now got a two light wireless flash system that's good for I think they say about 30 meters. So that, you know, that's pretty fantastic. Again, you tend to be shooting it all in manual mode, and I just think for the price, I mean, it's not professional kit. You know, you wouldn't probably want to shoot a wedding with this because it could get interference. And if you're in a position, you're in a place with lots of other photographers using wireless triggers, I'm sure they're all going to interfere with each other. But you've got four channels that you can possibly use. But for £20, that's pretty amazing. So the next stage for me really is to get used to using these wireless flashes, to take some images, to try and recreate those David Bailey Avedon type photographs. And then what I'll probably then do is start looking into, you can get some incredibly cheap flashes on eBay, Yungo ones I think they're called, which you can actually control the power with a lot more finesse. So you can go like full power, half power, eight quarter, eighth, etc., rather than these flashes which tend to be all on or all off. The other reason why I got the JJC ones was they said in the Gump that they would work with older flashes that had higher trigger voltages. That may well be true, but what I found is, of all the flashes I've got, they only work with the ones that have lots of contacts on the bottom. If the flash only has one contact, it probably won't work. This is only the fact that I've got two other flashes that have only got one contact and don't work. But this Miranda flash and this... get this Jessup one off there. This Miranda flash and this Jessup flash have both got lots of contacts on the bottom, and they work fine with these JJC triggers. Very, very good. Right, I'm just going to turn the receiver off there. I'm just going to turn this flash off as well. But you know, off-camera flash for about £30, two flashes, absolutely fantastic. And I can't wait to have a play around and hopefully produce some nice photographs with that. Now, the last months and last the months before assignment was winter where you live, and what I'd like to do is I'm going to do a review of that next week, but because I've started to do a video version of the podcast as well, I want to be able to show the images from our efforts as part of the assignment. But in order to do that, I need the permission of the people who have posted the photographs in the Flickr group in that particular stream to say it's okay to put them on my video. Otherwise, obviously, I'm violating your copyright, and that's the last thing I want to do. So hopefully this week, if you're listening to the podcast around about the release date of the 11th to the 12th of March, you should get an email from me, or a Flickr mail probably, saying, look, is it okay to use the photo in the video, just so people can see it as we're going along. But until then, I thought it's time we came up with another assignment, and I thought we'd do something different for this one. Now, I know I've asked for ideas over on the Flickr group, and please keep posting them in the ideas thread. But I wanted something different that we could really get our teeth into, and one that was kind of a little bit photojournalistic. I don't want any limits on the editing or anything like that. You can do what you want with photographs. But the idea, the word that I want us to look at for March and April is recession. Recession. So think about where you live or the country you're in or in your environment, what that word means. You know, does it mean anything? Is the area coming in that it has not been hit by the world recession over the last couple of years? And maybe it's coming out of recession. Maybe where you live, there's lots of unemployment. There's lots of houses that are up for sale. Maybe there's lots of businesses boarded up. I'm not sure, but I thought, yeah, you know, imagine you're working for a local paper or, you know, a local website, and they say, right, you know, we're doing an article on how the recession is affecting the local economy or the local people, the local schools or whatever. Can you go and take some photographs that sum that up? We could put in with this photograph. Now, it might be a series of photographs you take. It might be lots of individual ones. And then again, you can post as many as you like to the thread when they set it up over the next few days. You might post one and then leave it for a couple of weeks and then find some others. But there we go. So for March and April, our photo assignment, our Flickr photo assignment, is to come up with some images that to you mean recession. Right, there we go. Well, that's it for this week. Been a bit of a shorter podcast because I'm absolutely exhausted, but I'm looking forward to having a good night's sleep and not having to go to work for 2 weeks. Not that I don't like work, you know, I'm like everybody else, I like work, but I think I've definitely earned some time off. Thanks to Everyday Jones, who do the intro and outro music on the audio podcast. Thanks to everybody for posting comments on robnanphoto.com. Remember, keep sending me emails to scalespeeder@gmail.com with questions and ideas for the podcast and the blog. But most of all, I'd like to thank you for downloading and listening to the podcast, and everybody on YouTube and associated sites for watching the podcast. My name's Rob from robnanphoto.com, and hopefully pretty soon I'll see you on Flickr.